Sun and Mr. Nile Rodgers. That was Free to Love. I mean, sounded like a hit to me. Don't forget to keep the love in your heart and the eye on the charts. Next up, this week's top 10.
All right, it is 8:02 a.m., so close to being on the hour today. You're listening to WMUC-FM College Park. That's 90.5 on your dial, or wmuc.umd.edu in your browser. I'm Emma. I have some guests today who you'll be hearing from soon, but first I'm going to play a quick PSA, and then I will be back to introduce today's show.
From all of you good workers, good news to you I'll tell of how the good old Union has come in here to dwell.
Which side are you on? Which side are you on?
Are you a graduate assistant, research assistant, or teaching assistant at UMD? Are you tired of low pay, long hours, high fees, and no safety net for international students? So are we. The UMD Graduate Labor Union is organizing for collective bargaining rights for graduate workers on campus.
Right now, the administration unilaterally controls our working conditions, but we are fighting to change that. To learn more about graduate labor organizing efforts on campus and what a union can do for you, visit umdgradworkers.org.
All right, I'm back. I was joking on my Instagram story this morning, plugging the show, that this is like the culmination of my academic time at UMD. I have the most esteemed guests I think I've had on the show. Doctors Shackle and Little are here.
Hi.
Great to be here, Emma.
Thank you. And we are doing, how long have we been planning this show?
Oh, it's way long.
Probably 7 or 8 months. Yeah.
A year? Okay, I think a year, because we were talking about it last Maryland Day.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're doing a Neil Young show, which is exciting. I guess to start, I was curious if you guys wanted to speak on what your relationship with Neil Young is and his music.
Oh, wow.
My mom loves Neil Young. I grew up thinking that he kind of sounded like a little singing mouse, so I wasn't really into him. I like Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, but that's because you got three other people singing over him. My friend William in boarding school was the one who kind of got me into Neil Young's solo work, and he's big into like On the Beach and his sort of mid-70s stuff. That's my relationship to Neil Young's music. But
do you want to start?
Yeah, sure.
Neil is your life.
Neil is my life, Barbara says. So Neil, you know, growing up in the late 60s, early 70s, Neil was about protest, right? He called out a lot of the injustices that was going on, and that really struck a chord with me. And so as we go through the playlist, you'll see maybe 70 or 80% of the songs that we have are about social justice. And a lot of those songs that he developed in the late 60s and early 70s are still very relevant to today, and we'll try to pick out those points of what makes his music so important for us, and that we shouldn't forget Neil because he
was.
We'll
forget Neil. Nobody will forever forget Neil.
He had an impact on a lot of the movements and social movements in the 70s and 80s and into the 90s.
And the relevance is because why it keeps getting covered. I mean, there's songs here that have been covered over and over and over again, and. It's funny, Emma, because you say the singing. It's like, yes, he sings like, it's so weird. But it also teaches us that anybody can sing.
Yeah.
It's like not intimidating. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Sing along.
I think you guys did a good job just to, you know, pull people in. I think that you have a good range of different musical genres covering him, which is definitely a weak spot. I've played some Neil Young covers before, and usually the ones I pull from are sort of in like the alt country range because a lot of bands like Wilco in the 90s and sort of Lucinda Williams and now like MJ Linderman all sort of claim Neil as their lineage I know he had a huge impact on grunge too, so it was cool to see
father of grunge
proto
grunge. We got the screaming females coming
up. we're gonna start we're going to ease in.
We're definitely easing in.
One of his collaborators and sort of her spoken intro to the piece as well. This is, I believe you guys said the earliest cover of Neil Young, correct?
I'll talk about it a little bit before you even start it, unless you want me to do it afterwards.
Oh, you know, you can talk about it.
So this Joni Mitchell,
yes,
right, who covered Neil, this song of Neil's before he even recorded it. it's Sugar Mountain. And Joni Mitchell's a fellow Canadian, right? They were at the university together. They're lifelong friends. They had polio when they were kids before there were vaccines, which becomes relevant later, I think, in their relationship about vaccines. And she joined him when he withdrew from Spotify in protest, right? When Joe Rogan was on there disclaiming COVID and they pulled their songs and Spotify came around at some point because of the boycott. But she covered this song on a folk radio show in Philadelphia in 1967. And it didn't appear on Heart of Gold until 1971. So,
yeah,
it's amazing. Joni Mitchell's amazing.
Yeah, and you can find this on, it's a 2020 release of Mitchell's. It's Archives, Volume 1, The Early Years. So 1963... to 1967. But now we're going to listen to her intro to Sugar Mountain and Sugar Mountain. Do you have anything to say, Dr. Shepard?
We're ready to roll.
All right.
Let's go.
Another song that inspired Circle Game. How did it inspire it? In theme or?
Well, my song is exactly the opposite in theme. This is a great song, and the only thing was that I didn't agree with the philosophy. Because this song says, you know, well, what Neil tried to say was, while growing up, every time he turned around, people would say to him, you know, hey, wait till you're old, you can't do that now because you're, you know, you're too young. So suddenly he was old enough to do all the things he'd been waiting to do. And really the things that he wanted to do at that point were all behind him. He'd been in such a hurry, you know, that he'd missed a lot of his childhood. And basically the song was like, and there's nothing happening. You know, it was a very disillusioned song.
I'm washed up at 21.
Like I'm washed up at 20, which is even worse. But it's a great song. Even if you don't believe that, it's a great song. I wonder if this will ever be recorded. I hope they do record it sometime because it's a good song. To live on Sugar Mountain with the Barkers and the colored balloons. Can't be 20 on Sugar Mountain. Oh, you're thinking that you're leaving there too soon. You're leaving there too soon. It's so noisy at the fair, but all you
to live on Sugar Mountain with the Barkers and the colored balloons. Can't be 20 on Sugar Mountain. Oh, you're thinking that you're leaving there too soon. And you've given back some glares to the people that you met, and it's your first cigarette. Oh, to live on Sugar Mountain with the Barkers and the colored balloons. You can't be 20 on Sugar Mountain. Oh, you're thinking that you're leaving there too. You read a hidden note. Oh, to live on Sugar Mountain with the Barkers and the colored balloons. You can't be 20 on Sugar Mountain. Oh, you're thinking that you're leaving there too soon. And it's funny how you feel, 'cause you're finding out it's real. Oh, to live on Sugar Mountain with the Barkers and the colored balloons. You can't be 20 on Sugar Mountain. Oh, you're thinking that you're leaving there too. With the Barkers and the colored balloons. Can't be 20 on Sugar Mountain. Oh, you're thinking that you're leaving there too soon.
But that's why I wrote it, you know, there'll be new dreams, maybe better dreams before after all the news. So he was very discouraged.
All right, that was Joni Mitchell's cover of Sugar Mountain.
And it's like the most Joni Mitchell thing ever that she wrote Circle Game because of that song. It's like, Neil didn't really nail childhood. I know what childhood's about.
Yeah. There's a great clip, and I don't know what the documentary it's from is, but there's that awesome clip of her playing Coyote for like the first time, and like Roger McGinn's home with him and Bob Dylan, and they're all just sitting watching her because they, you know, they wish they'd written it.
Yep.
So I love that cut, too. I mean, if you really listen to it, you could hear the crackling in the background. Yeah. And it was like really raw, really original. And so hats off to Barbara for finding that clip.
Yeah.
It was like really great.
We're going to jump forward to 2020 with a single by Billy Porter. This is his cover of For What It's Worth. The original was released by Young's group Buffalo Springfield in 1966. And technically, this is not a Neil Young song.
Technically.
This is a Stephen Stills song.
Technically.
Yeah, but he was
I'm okay with the group.
He was part of the group.
And you know what? In the spirit of cover to cover, I feel like you guys did some fun stretching of what a cover is. You know, we have Neil Young covering himself later.
So. Which is great, isn't it? Come on, give us some slack, Emma.
No, I respect the choice to put it on here as a cover because it's something I would do. I just don't know if I'm the definitive fan of Trans as an album.
No,
it's a little
no, it's not. It's
yeah.
Yeah.
But anyways, yeah. This is a great protest song, okay?
Yes.
And
yeah.
And so it's and that's why it's here, okay? So it's for what it's.
I like this song. I'm glad it's here.
It's for what it's worth. It was done in 1971, right? It was recorded.
1966.
66, Buffalo Springfield. Sorry. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Emma.
Yes.
So the thing is, people really see this song as an anti-war song, but mm-hmm. its roots are not anti-war. It's really a reaction to the Sunset Strip curfew riots that were happening in Los Angeles in 1966. And so there were rallies. There was a curfew put on outside all these music halls, and it got a little rough, and there were some riots, and Stephen Stills wrote this song, and so this was happening in November of 66, and the song was recorded in December of 66. So what an amazing turnaround,
they were
right?
Quick.
Yeah, I mean
for
those times, that
all of their protest songs are like yeah, the yeah. month that it happened.
Boom, and it happened. Yeah. So the story that Stephen Stills says is that he went to the recording company executive, and he says, "I have this song. For what it's worth, if you want it." And that's how it got its title. Yeah. And so it made it all the way up to number 7 on the Billboard. So, and then it then became this really popular anti-war protest song mm-hmm. In the 60s and into the 70s.
Yeah. And it, you know, it would be a lot of work to play it on air, but Public Enemy, right? Used it in the 1990s and had Stephen Stills back and had him.
That.
Yeah, so it, you know,
cool.
lives on.
Cool.
My favorite Stephen Stills fact is that he was almost a monkey.
Oh, yeah.
They almost had him on the monkey.
Could have changed everything.
But his teeth were too bad.
Oh, yeah. So before we get to the cut, you know, big shout out to Stephen Leslie and Sophia, right? And also to call-ins that you're getting now from Katie and Fiona. So,
yeah.
Hey, folks.
Hi. Glad you're listening.
All right. This is For What It's Worth.
There's something happening here. It is, ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop. Children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speaking their minds, getting so much resistance from behind. We gotta stop. Children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
Into your life, it will come.
All right, that was Billy Porter's cover of For What It's Worth. Any additional thoughts?
Or? Love the range, right?
Yeah.
It was fun.
He's great.
Yeah.
He's great.
We are going to keep on with a cover of 1970s Ohio by John Batiste, Leon Bridges, and Gary Clark Jr. I've played this cover before. I love this cover. They partnered up for this 2017 single. It was originally released in 1970. And we were talking about it earlier. I had asked, you know, why this cover of Ohio out of all of the covers of Ohio that there are?
That's a really good question because there were so many. And I think we struggled a lot with, like, which one. But this trio, I mean, these guys are so different and they're so amazing together. I guess I really just wanted John Batiste to be on the show in some way.
Yeah.
It was just so hard to choose, right?
Yeah, and you wanted Devo. And
yeah, I did, but I lost out, but that's okay.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate what I like about this cover is, and I think my mom had put me onto this cover, is it's dirge-like, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is very fitting for the song, you know? It's sort of the same as, like, St. James Infirmary or some sort of blues song.
Yeah.
Which subject matter-wise...
Yeah, this fits.
Do you want to speak on...
Yeah, so Ohio, what an amazing story with Ohio. So it all centers around the Kent State Massacre, where four students were shot dead by the National Guard. They were protesting the Vietnam War. And so the story is that David Crosby showed Neil Young the cover story of one of the magazines where Marianne Vecchio is kneeling... Mm. At the body of a dead student, and her hands are raised in the air.
Iconic photo, yeah.
It's that you could find that photo anywhere. Mm. So David Crosby shows Neil Young the song. Neil Young,
the picture.
The picture. I'm sorry. He shows the picture. He goes into the woods. He comes out an hour later, and he plays this song for David Crosby. And David Crosby says, "Whoa." And he calls up Graham Nash and says, "Reserve a studio. We're coming to New York." And they go to New York. They record it. And 1 month later, it's released. Okay? So I think it's such an appropriate song about thinking about about state violence, right? Mm-hmm. And it's so applicable to what's going on today, especially when we think about ICE and the murders that happened in Minneapolis just recently. So I think it has just a lot of relevance, and this song will never die.
No, I mean, even in 2024, right, a lot of the, you know, student protests for the genocide in Gaza, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Texas especially, UT Austin, they had the National Guard there.
That was terrifying.
It was horrific, yeah.
Yeah. And big shout out to Kent State for maintaining the story. You go to campus and there's a museum and they've got memorials all over campus, and you can't step on that ground without knowing that happened and learning a lot about it. So kudos to them for maintaining that and funding that.
And some of the modern art sculptures that are on campus still have the bullet holes in them.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And people... You know, they've circled in chalk. They've circled the bullet holes, and so it's a real reminder of what happened. So if you're somewhere in Ohio, traveling between Cleveland and Akron,
anywhere, make a trip.
It's they have a great museum there on campus, and it's really worth a trip.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. All right. Well, this is John Batiste, Leon Bridges, and Gary Clark Jr.'s cover of Ohio. Thank you.
soldiers are cutting us down. Should have been done long ago. What if you knew her and found her dead on the ground? How can you run when you know?
That was John Batiste, Leon Bridges, and Gary Clark Jr.'s cover of Ohio. I'm Emma. You're listening to Cover to Cover on WMUC-FM with special guests, Drs. Shackle and Little.
Thanks
for having us. This is great fun.
Yeah.
I just wanted to sum up just a little bit more about the song, you know, and how important the song was. So during the 60s and 70s, you know, Bob Dylan was galvanizing the youth with the anti-war movement, and he always did not mention political names, right? So here in this song, Neil Young is saying tin soldiers and Nixon's coming, so he's calling out Richard Nixon, right? And so it's like one of the first times we hear this in pop music, so it's really important and sets a trend for later on. And later on he does call out more politicians when we get down later in the playlist.
Yeah. All right, well, the next song is another one that I'm like very curious about why you guys picked this one. But it's, because it's a great cover, but there's so many good covers of 1970s Helpless. This is a 2020 release from Molly Tuttle and Old Crow Medicine Show. the song was released as part of a fundraiser for Why Hunger, and the original is on the like amazing 1970 double album Deja Vu. So I was curious, so, why not the Last Waltz version with Joni Mitchell?
Yeah, but yeah. Well, you already had Joni Mitchell.
Yeah, yeah.
She was already at the party. And it's because of Why Hunger to be able to bring up the fact that Neil has like donated his songs to so many people to use and has had so much impact in the philanthropy world for causes like hunger and climate change and education and so much more. So that's why.
Yeah.
Why Hunger.
Cool. You're good?
That's it. I'm good. That's great.
All right. Well, this is Helpless.
Big birds fly in.
That was Molly Tuttle and Old Crow Medicine Show's cover of Helpless. I think we had a couple more.
So I don't know where we found this little factoid, but in the liner notes to the box set in 1991, Young wrote, recorded in San Francisco about 4 a.m. when everyone got tired enough to play at my speed.
Yeah.
At 4 a.m., who's doing anything else? It's amazing. They're still recording.
Yeah. I feel like it's hard not to romanticize, especially like the CSNY stuff. You see clips and they're just all hanging out, you know, and maybe recording every couple half hours. Yeah. But it's nice. We're going to move on to a 1995 performance by the Pretenders from Pirate Radio. It's their live versions of both originals and covers are on this CD. But this is their take on The Needle and the Damage Done, which is another very oft-covered track that was originally released by Neil Young on 1972's Harvest.
So you're asking, why this one?
A little. I don't listen to a ton of the Pretenders, so this is, I'd never heard that. Are you shocked?
No.
I am. I mean, they're a great rock and roll band, and so, Emma knows all rock and roll.
But Chrissy Hynde has opened for Neil Young, and he inducted the Pretenders into the Hall of Fame.
Oh, that's cool.
So that was a nice thing. And Chrissy Hynde was a student at Kent State when the murders
yeah.
happened. So
that's
in honor of her
surreal.
Being there, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. Well, and that's the Devo connection as well. The Dr. Shackle was who told me that I didn't know that they were all also at Kent State, which is such like a crazy
yeah.
6 degrees of separation
right.
to share
right. it's true.
With someone. Yeah.
So this is a great song, right? I mean, it's this amazing acoustic sound. It was written by Neil Young to highlight the heroin addiction that a lot of people were coming under mm-hmm. during that time. Mm-hmm. It was a heroin epidemic. And in particular, he wrote this about one of the band members of Crazy Horse. Crazy Horse is his mm-hmm. backup band. And he died from a heroin overdose. And the lines there, I've seen the needle and the damage done, a little part in everyone, captures the haunting effects of addiction, right? And how it damages just not the user, but everybody around them. So before you play this, Emma, you know, again, shout out to Caitlin in Monocacy. She's interested in.
It was a really, really good transition between yeah. talking yeah. about the debilitating effects of heroin and, you know.
Gears.
Ben in Paris
public.
is
yes.
texting in. Hey,
Ben nice is in Paris.
And Donald from Northern Virginia. So
all right.
Let's go.
Cellar door. I love you, baby. Can I have? Was the Pretenders cover of The Needle and the Damage Done. I'm Emma. You're listening to Cover to Cover with Dr. Shackle and Little.
Hey, thanks for tuning in.
And we have already I've gotten a text message requesting this song. This is Old Man. There are several songs on today's show from the really, really delightful 2025 compilation album Heart of Gold, The Songs of Neil Young, Volume 1. The album's proceeds benefit the Bridge School in California, and this is Stephen Marley's cover of the song, also from 1972's Harvest, originally.
And it's the A-side of Needle and the Damage Done, when they came out on a 45.
Nice! There you go!
Paired, they were together.
Wow, that is a incredibly drastic, like, tone shift.
I know!
Interesting. Yeah.
So Neil wrote this song about his elderly caretaker of his newly purchased ranch, which was the Broken Arrow Ranch. And so there's this line in there that says, "Old man, take a look at my life. I'm a lot like you are," which is where Young captures the universal human desire of love, connection, and meaning regardless of age. You know, it's a song that reminds us of the distance between generations maybe smaller than we think. So this was a request from Fiona. So out to you, Fiona. And Claire, thanks for listening. Thanks for your text, too. Claire in Bethesda.
Old man, look at my life. A lot like you were. Old man, look at my life. I'm a lot like you were. Old man, look at my life. 24 and there's so much more. Live alone in a paradise that makes me think of two. Love lost, such a cost. Give me things that don't get lost. Like a coin that won't get tossed, rolling home to you. Old man, take a look at my life. I'm a lot like you. I need someone to love me the whole day through. Ah, one look in my eyes and you can tell. Thank you.
run around in the same old town. Doesn't mean that much to me to mean that much to you. I've been first and last. Look at how the time goes past. But I'm all alone at last, rolling home to you. Old man, take a look at my life. I'm a lot like you. I need someone to love me the whole day through. I want to look in my eyes and you could tell that's true.
That was Stephen Marley's cover of Old Man, which I'm getting texts now is very well received, as are my two very well-learned musical guests.
We are so musical.
Thank you, Rachel. We're going to jump to another track originally from Harvest. This is Johnny Cash's recording of Heart of Gold from the 2003 box set Unearthed.
Probably his most iconic song. Mm-hmm. It's his only song to reach number one, right, in the Billboard Hot 100.
Did not know that. Wow.
Yeah, so, and this is somebody who is well-respected and who has had such an impact in the musical world in a 60-year career, right? So the story is that he recorded this while he had a back injury, so he couldn't pick up his electric guitar, so he just kind of settled for writing some acoustic music, right? So Johnny Cash had Neil Young appear on the Johnny Cash Show in 1971, and Neil said that he was just petrified being on the show and meeting Johnny Cash for the first time. So this song appears on Cash's posthumous box set called Unearthed.
And do you imagine, like, meeting Johnny Cash when you're, like, on live TV?
Yeah.
A little intimidated. Yeah. Here, play your song for me.
Yeah. Yeah, to say the least. But, you know, Johnny Cash seems like an amicable guy.
Ooh, a man in black.
Yeah. All right. This is his version of Heart of Gold.
I wanna live, I wanna give. I've been a miner for a heart of gold. It's these expressions I never give that keeps me searching for a heart of gold. And I'm getting old. It keeps me searching for a heart of gold, and I'm getting old. Thank you. the redwood. I'd cross the ocean for a heart of gold. I've been in my mind, it's such a fine line that keeps me searching for a heart of gold. And I'm getting old. That keeps me searching for a heart of gold. And I'm getting old.
That was Johnny Cash with his version of Heart of Gold. I'm Emma. You're listening to Cover to Cover on WMUC-FM College Park. And up next, we have a cover of the title track from 1970s After the Gold Rush. This is Patti Smith's cover, kind of update. She changes some lyrics to reflect when she recorded it. And this is from 2012's Banga. Yeah.
Cool. You guys. I think that she's a good example of sort of the proto-grunge that Neil Young did and sort of how he fits into the grunge lineage, you know?
Yeah, yeah. She would, like, protest any labels put on her, but I agree. They're friends, I guess, if they admire each other. And I've got this great quote that Neil, writing to her, "I'm the highway and landscapes, your cities and bricks. We're on similar paths, but in different geographic places."
So the song itself, it's an environmentally conscious ballad, you know, that offers an interpretation through with a journey through time, right? Past, present, future, and it explores the aftermath of environmental destruction and the loss of 1960s idealism, right? Reflecting on the consequences of human greed. And the thing that I want you all to listen to are the three verses, right? And the first verse is, "I saw knights in armor coming," and the knights are coming to retrieve people, to retrieve those maybe lost on the battlefield, right? Mm. The second verse is, "Lying in a burned out basement," okay? And the third verse is the nuclear holocaust, and there's a silver spaceship flying, and the chosen ones are the ones who are escaping the holocaust. This is like one of my favorite songs. I think it's just amazing when you think about the words and the verses and the way he treats the whole issue of this nuclear holocaust, the potential of a nuclear holocaust, and the destruction of the environment. It's
always been a terrifying time. This was the 70s. It was terrifying then, it's terrifying now.
Yeah, I think it's important to remember. And I hadn't ever thought about the language in that way.
Yeah.
It always, I think, with the nights and everything, had always, and, you know, the sun and the spaceship, like, it always had sort of felt like kind of fairy tale-ish to me, you know. They sort of in the like medieval revival of the period too.
Yeah, but and that's the beauty of lyrics, right? I mean, you could interpret it in a lot of different ways, right?
Yeah.
And so, and that's the beauty of it all.
Yeah.
So, big shout out to Karen V in Holbrook and Steve V in Setauket, New York, right? And Michael from St. Petersburg, Florida.
Awesome. Here's After the Gold Rush.
Well, I dreamed I saw the knights in armor coming, saying something about a queen. There were peasants singing and drummers drumming. The archers split the tree. There was a fanfare blowing to the sun that was floating on the breeze. Look at Mother Nature on the run in the 1970s. Look at Mother Nature on the run in the 1970s. Well, I dreamed I saw the silver spaceships flying in the yellow haze of the sun. There were children crying and colors flying all around the chosen ones. All in a dream, all in a dream, the loading had begun. We're flying Mother Nature's silver seed to a new home in the sun. Flying Mother Nature's silver seed to a new home.